You're listening to The Top Line, brought to you by Fierce Pharma and Fierce Biotech. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. Each June, the American Society of Clinical Oncology hosts a conference that gathers physicians, researchers, and the cancer community to share their latest research on treatments, technologies, and more. For those who haven't attended ASCO's annual meeting, it's a colossal event, attracting over 44,000 registrants in 2023. This year was equally significant. The Fierce team is always on the ground at the ASCO meeting, and this year, Fierce Biotech's Gabrielle Mason and Fierce Pharma's Angus Liu covered the event. In today's episode, they discuss the most talked about data drops at ASCO and share on-the-ground details, including their experience with Gilead's virtual reality Trodelvy ride. Let's dive into the conversation now.
I'm Gabrielle Mason, and I'm joined today by Angus Liu, another Fierce team member who also went to ASCO. Hi, Angus. How are you?
Doing well, hanging in there.
You've been busy because you didn't stop after ASCO. Where are you now, Angus?
I'm in the San Diego Convention Center for bio, and I've just finished a lot of interviews, but happy to talk about ASCO.
Yeah, thanks for chatting with me amid all the conference chaos. I'm curious, in your opinion, maybe what some of the biggest data drops or hot topics for pharma were at ASCO this year?
I think the biggest data set was technically not from ASCO. This actually dropped on the eve of ASCO, this big head-to-head clinical trial from these two partners. One is Summit Therapeutics, and the other is Akeso. This is a biotech from China. Their bispecific antibody drug beat Keytruda in China in a lung cancer study. This is very specific in the PD-L1 positive non-small cell lung cancer in the first line setting. Both companies' market shares just skyrocketed based on the news because this was the first time that a single drug has ever beaten Keytruda, which is the world's top selling medicine in non-small cell lung cancer. And this is basically Keytruda, how Keytruda made a name for itself. It is in non-small cell lung cancer. It's the largest indication. It's the most important indication for Keytruda PD-1 inhibitor.
Everyone I spoke to was talking about this. Like, I think this was definitely the talk of the conference. Yeah. You also talked with Merck's chief medical officer, Elia Barr, about the win over Keytruda. So what did he have to say about it?
Right. So to put this into, for people who are not familiar, to put this into context, so we don't have any data yet, but a headline announcement saying this bispecific antibody targeting PD-1 and VEGF succeeded on progression-free survival against Keytruda, again, in PD-1 positive non-small cell lung cancer in this China-only study. But the company said the benefits, the progression-free survival benefits were shared across various patient subgroups. So I spoke to Eddie about this data, just the announcement, obviously. We talked about this. How does he think this data? He basically said if this is really successful, then it definitely is could be another option for patients. And it's definitely good news for them. But there is, because we haven't seen any data, LEF was referring to some of the past experience with this mechanism of combining PD-1 with VEGF in lung cancer. The situation is a lot of these studies, including some in combination with Keytruda, the progression-free survival data were positive. But when it comes to whether these drugs can actually extend patients' lives, which is overall survival, that was, in his words, a little more difficult to show. And in first-line non-small cell lung cancer, overall survival really matters. You have to show that life extension benefit before you could talk to regulators or before even payers would agree to cover your drug. So that's basically, we need to see more data to see how it pans out. And also, this study was only conducted in China. We need to see a more global population to really see if it fits for US population, for example. So a lot of that is, we'll see when the data come out. So Gabby, you also talked to Adiev too. What did you talk about?
I talked with him about Merck's drug development strategy, which is also being impacted by Keytruda's patent expiring in a few years. So he said that they're undergoing a substantial strategy transformation to build out a diverse pipeline before then. So part of that focus really focuses in on improving immune responses, which is best exemplified by Merck and Moderna's mRNA cancer vaccine. Mm-hmm. So the partners actually shared three-year data on the cancer vaccine from a phase 2b trial for resected melanoma at ASCO. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. The vaccine in combination with Keytruda reduced the risk of recurrence or death by 49% compared to Keytruda just by itself. Mm-hmm. So he said that the data shows strong and durable efficacy and demonstrates continued benefit for patients.
Right. I remember that program is already in phase 3, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're currently enrolling patients and ahead of schedule. So for the phase 3 trial in high-risk melanoma, that study has a primary readout set for 2029 right now. So the vaccine also has breakthrough status. That means that Merck and Moderna can interact more with regulators and maybe better understand what the agency could be wanting in a new drug application. So it's really exciting stuff.
And now, a quick break for a message from one of our sponsors.
Every step in the advanced therapy development process matters. Cryoport Systems is the comprehensive supply chain partner for the life sciences industry built on a foundation of risk mitigation. Cryoport Systems excels in the specialized management of the biopharmaceutical supply chain through their comprehensive platform offerings that include logistics, bioservices, cryopreservation, and consulting services. Trust Cryoport Systems to enable the outcome of your groundbreaking discoveries and support the future of medicine. One patient, one therapy, one product at a time. Learn more at cryoport.com.
And now, back to the top line.
As always, there's a ton of stuff going on at ASCO. We also went to the exhibit hall, for those who haven't been, it's in McCormick Place, which is right next to Soldier Field in Chicago. So I honestly think the buildings have their own zip code. Like, it's that big.
Huge.
So the exhibit hall is just a ginormous open room where companies set up displays showcasing their brand, some of their data. Before, like at other ASCOs, a lot of companies have offered like food and coffee and even games, but those are lacking this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think we went to one of the company, we went together with Zoe, including, went together to Gilead's spot and we tried their creams and took a little Trodelvy ride. What's your opinion of the Trodelvy ride?
I think ride is an overstatement, maybe. But it was a virtual reality experience. And we sat in a roller coaster chair with all of our, what do you call that? Like the headset on?
A VR headset.
And then they took us through the history of Trodelvy, which I'm curious if, for me, I don't really report on Trodelvy because it's an approved drug. Yeah. So what did you think of the information in that? And what did you think of that?
I remember we're laughing about this. My first perception of this ride was, what are all those footnotes about? They're basically showing us all this prescription informations and everything, then they all have these little footnotes. I was like, are we supposed to look up somewhere to see where it's coming from? So that was very interesting to me because it was basically a VR rise of different sheets of papers. The data, one slide, okay. We're riding this, taking this roller coaster ride. Let's turn it back and look at another piece of paper. So that was really fun for me to see kind of all the footnotes out there.
It was so funny when we were sitting down because you were just like, where are the footnotes? But yeah, I'll give it to them. I would have not, like, if that was just a normal movie or posters, would not have read them at all. So they really did get people in there. We had to sign a waiver for motion sickness. They really hyped it up.
Yeah. Of course. It's definitely a completely new experience, I have to say. I honestly didn't pay any attention to what exactly was said in those slides. But if for someone who's not familiar with Trodelvy after that ride, you would definitely remember that drug.
Every time I see it now, I'm going to think of that ride because that was my first and only virtual reality.
Well, I remember those green grasses right before you at the below of the. I was just wondering if that helps you deal with the motion sickness and everything.
Oh, that's so interesting. Like it gives you like grounds you?
Yeah, I think maybe to help you focus on something that is not moving.
Then right afterwards, we just got crepes at their station, which I thought were delightful.
Right, exactly. And I also just got innovative and combined their turkey filling with the veggie filling.
Overall, they won for me, like as the best exhibitor because of the virtual reality, even if it was about drug like information that you read on the
Speaking
side
of Trodelvy, they had a very rough ESCO this year. They already have this, we already know this lung cancer clinical trial that has already failed. And just as ESCO was about to kick off, they reported this headline news that another confirmatory trial for them also failed. So it was definitely a tough ESCO for them. Trodelvy is still their cornerstone oncology program, but now that's been called into question. Like, can it really serve as a cornerstone drug after two failed phase 3 trials?
Were there any other interesting trends? Angus, I know you mentioned there were a lot of tall men, tall European men missing from the conference.
I was like, this year I was specifically looking for like tall Northern European guys, like really coming, you could notice in a crowd, but for some reason this year I didn't notice anyone. And I have no idea where I got the impression that I shouldn't be looking for those men, to be honest. It was like, why did I even begin to look for those guys? But anyway, the one thing that I noticed is that we just didn't see any very tall expecting to see before heading to ESCO.
It does feel like an airport almost, like it's such an international kind of conference that you would think, you know, maybe you thought we were at an airport. I'm unsure. Thanks again for recapping ASCO with me, Angus, especially while you're out at Bio. For our listeners, you can find our ASCO coverage on both Fierce Biotech and Pharma homepages under the tags ASCO 2024.
That's it for The Top Line. I'm your host, Ayla Ellison. You can find out more about this topic in our show notes at fiercepharma.com. Look for podcasts. And that's the bottom line from The Top Line.